Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, March 2, 2018. South Sudanese diplomats are asking the UN mission in South Sudan to be transparent.
While they are residing or living in those protection of civilian camp, and UN forces should not be asking them for sexual favors, consented or otherwise.
And five police officers are killed in a suspected terrorist attack in Kenya.
We have very many sympathizers of Al-Shabaab within the local population. And then we have another group that is not sympathetic to Al-Shabaab that is willing to share information with the security agencies.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government has condemned recent reports that some United Nations peacekeepers at a UN protection of civilian site in Wau were involved in sexual relations with vulnerable South Sudanese women. Gift Friday reports for VOA from Juba.
Foreign ministry officials called a press conference today to demand for an independent or joint investigation into the allegations. Valentino Bach, undersecretary in South Sudan's Foreign Affairs Ministry, read a statement accusing UNMISS of harboring criminals at the POC sites it runs in Juba. Bach also condemned the UN police force for, in his words, betraying the trust of the people of South Sudan, following reports that a Ghanaian-formed police unit deployed at a POC site for IDPs in Wau were engaged in sexual relations with women in the camp.
The protection of civilians' camp should be used to protect those who have voluntarily decided to go and live there. And as you all know, the majority are women and children, and they should feel safe while they are residing or living in those protection of civilian camp. And UN forces should not be asking them for sexual favors, consented or otherwise.
This earlier week, UNMISS Chief David Sira said the mission pulled out the Ghanaian unit of 46 police officers following the allegations of sexual exploitation in Wau. Sira said the UN's Office of Internal Oversight Services, an independent office within the UN, is investigating the matter.
UNMISS has a zero tolerance, no excuses and no second chance approach to sexual exploitation and abuse. Our priority is to put the victims' rights and dignity first and ensure there is transparency and accountability for our actions. That is why the mission has taken immediate action to protect and support potential victims and witnesses in this case while a full investigation is carried out.
Buck says the government is not satisfied that the matter is being investigated by a UN body because its finding will be submitted to UN headquarters rather than to the Kiir administration.
We urge UNMISS to agree to an independent or a joint investigation and not to smuggle out the culprits until these investigations are concluded and offenders brought to book for their action.
Bach accuses the UNMISS of not being transparent, noting it reported the matter 2 weeks after it received complaints. John Anduga is a director of international organizations at South Sudan Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Anduga says the suspected peacekeepers should face possible criminal persecution in Wau.
And these individuals who are here now must return to Wau, where the crime is committed. The case will be opened in Wau, and the case cannot be opened in Juba. So we are saying that this investigation has to be expedited so that justice prevail for the women and the people of Wau.
Anduga says UN's POC3 in Juba should be closed, claiming it harbors criminals.
We are demanding, as our parliament said, that the POC3 in Juba must close down because it become a center for harboring criminals in Juba. The UN admitted, police admit that they cannot control it. Now, if somebody can go in anytime and leave anytime, they become a den of criminals in Juba. So the most of these so-called unknown gunmen are coming from the POC.
And Mrs. Spokesperson Francesca Moll says, given many of the POC sites have populations the same size as towns or cities, it is not surprising that there is some criminal activity. Moll says If people are suspected of crimes within the camp, the UN police investigates, apprehend suspects, and may hold them for a limited period of time until a decision is made about what action to take. End quote. Mold says, depending on the nature of the crime, suspects may be ejected from the protection site or on referral to national authorities for further investigation. The UN says about 205,000 internal displaced people are sheltering in POC sites across the country. The current UNMISS mandate, which focuses on protecting civilians and building durable peace in South Sudan, is in place until March 15. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Juba.
Five police officers have been killed and three others injured after suspected Al-Shabaab militants attacked two security camps in Kenya's northeastern town of Mandera on the border with Somalia. Rahel Ombur reports from Nairobi.
The attack comes barely a month after suspected Al-Shabaab militants killed three people in Wajir, a town also on Kenya-Somalia border. Friday's early morning attack occurred at the Kenya Police and Administration Police camps in Fino Town. Abdi Rizak is a member of Mandera County Assembly and works just 40 kilometers from Fino. He said for 2 weeks, there has been information circulating that an attack would happen. He said local leaders had given the information to agencies because locals were skeptical about working with police.
The local people are fearing to give the government the information. Because they're telling that this person, if he brings our information, they're thinking that the government said this, you are the part of Al-Shabaab. That is why the people of the local are fearing to bring the information. But for us as the leaders, when you're giving them the information, some of them, when you tell them the information, they told you they are aware.
George Musamali is a security analyst in Nairobi. He said local communities in Mandera were critical in the fight against terrorism and should not be ignored.
We have very many sympathizers of Al-Shabaab within the local population. And then we have another group that is not sympathetic to Al-Shabaab that is willing to share information with the security agencies. And there's no way we can fight terrorism or any form of crime without collaborating in members of the local communities. In security, we call this popular intelligence.
Musamali says this specific attack could have been avoided.
Most unfortunate bit is that right now we can't blame the intelligence because the information we have out here is that intelligence has given information about this imminent attack. They had even given the police the name of the ringleader of the group that was coming to carry out the attack in that area. And therefore, it clearly shows there's a lot of laxity within the security organs. Clearly, this was a well-planned and coordinated attack. And it calls into question the measures that have been put in place by the Kenyan government to secure that part of the country.
Al-Shabaab has frequently attacked Kenya, hitting civilian targets in retaliation for Kenya's involvement in military action against the group in Somalia. Rael Ombord for VOA News, Nairobi.
In East Africa, non-governmental organizations and journalists often rely their messages in traditional ways that fail to engage their target audience and therefore carry little impact. And people living in rural and marginalized communities without electricity also miss news and public service announcements intended for their home consumption. Peripheral Vision International, or PVI, a Uganda and New York-based NGO, is committed to change that media landscape. VOA's Adam Phillips asked Paul Falzon, the group's executive director, to explain its mission.
Think about the kinds of media that you consume in your life, right? When's the last time you went to see a documentary? But if you talk to an NGO, that's the first place they go, this bland presentation of information to people. So how do we flip that script? That's what PVI does.
In rural places without, you know, reliable electricity, what do you do to get the message out?
You know, when you go out into the places where people live, you find that there's already this kind of rich media culture. So if folks don't have electricity, they might not have a television in their homes, but there are screens in bars and beauty salons and in these thousands of little video halls called Babanda. So what we've done is we've tried to figure out a way that we can place content that changes lives in these pre-existing locations, right? What do they want to see? And how can we kind of target information in a way that's engaging, entertaining, and that people want to play in their shop or in their video hall? A lot of what we do is actually we take local music videos from Ugandan artists and we package them into music television straight to DVD And then in between, whereas television would put ads for, you know, soda pop or sneakers, we've put public service announcements and other kind of social content.
What kind of issues are you presenting to people?
We've worked with dozens of NGOs, and we've worked on topics like disability rights and intimate partner violence and livelihoods and citizenship. For instance, there was a public service announcement we did encouraging people to put disabled children through school. And in that case, we used puppets because people really connected with them emotionally, and folks have loved that PSA.
I understand that women's rights and reproductive rights are also something that people can see in these video halls.
Absolutely. What we've found is that popular culture has a lot more freedom to speak about often spicy issues. And so we've made efforts to make content that people tune into, but that they don't tune out of because it offends them. We have a TV show also broadcast in Uganda, which is a rap news TV show, where literally they deliver the news in hip-hop format. And we roll a lot of those segments also into the DVDs that we distribute.
I understand there's been a lot of erosion of media freedoms in Uganda and censorship. So this is a way of circumventing that?
A lot of the censorship that's gone on in Uganda right now has been toward traditional journalism. And what we found is that more engaging forms of journalism, whether it be humor or music or other kind of things that look on the surface like entertainment, have a lot more freedom to speak openly than traditional journalists have. We've seen that also in other environments too, where comedy news teaches just as much as straight news, but is able to say more, to kind of bend the rules about what you are and are not allowed to say.
What evidence do you have that these messages that are so entertainingly presented are more than just mere entertainment for the people who see them? I mean, they may laugh a lot, but that doesn't necessarily mean the message is more effective or has staying power once they leave the video hall.
You're absolutely right. One of the things we do is we work with academics and scholars to figure out what kind of message framing would be the most impactful. So, for instance, in Uganda, we found that stories about other citizens taking action in their communities had the largest impact on attitudes around citizenship. So we're actually testing different kind of ways of framing the news and issues and seeing what have the most impact.
And you do games, too.
In Uganda, we've done games on agriculture and on financial savings. And we're about to launch a game in Malawi on sexual and reproductive health. And we're really looking at taking what we've learned in Uganda and scaling it much more broadly. We have a new phone-based game called Wanji. It's choose your own adventure, interactive stories delivered via voice through basic phones. So people who might have like very little literacy and little means of other communication can engage with interactive content. Our new phone game is scaling right now to Malawi, Rwanda, and Kenya. And we also have a TV show we're developing that we hope to make pan-African.
That was Paul Folzon, Executive Director of Peripheral Vision International, an alternative media firm based in Uganda and the US. He spoke with VOA's Adam Phillips in New York. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a South Sudanese musician says his music is spreading the message of unity. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when was the last time you took some time off for yourself?
Yeah, it takes a lot for me, like to preserve some time for me to rest. Yeah, just on Sundays, maybe from church, that's when I may decide to have a rest.
The last time I took myself off, it was 2 weeks ago when my friend called me for a party. I went and attended that party, so that's when I was off for work.
Every weekend, I'm never in my off times, so I enjoy that.
That was for about 2 weeks, and I went up country. Actually, I went to Karamoja, to visit some friends, to change of environment, to see how that part of the world is.
The last time, that's a very tricky one. Now, I have a really busy schedule, so I rarely take time off for myself. Very difficult.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The UN Immigration Agency says armed Boko Haram militants have attacked a military base in northeastern Nigeria, killing and injuring aid workers and police officers. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The agency says an investigation into the attack is underway. It says what is known so far is that a large number of Boko Haram insurgents, armed with automatic weapons, rocket-propelled grenades, and gun trucks, attacked the military base in Ran in Borno State. A spokesman for the International Organization for Migration, Joel Millman, says he understands a camp for internally displaced people is located there. Millman cited IOM staff working in the camp as saying four soldiers, four mobile police, and three humanitarian workers were killed, while another three humanitarian workers were injured, and one is reportedly missing.
I have a quote here from Mohammed Abdiker, who's the IOM director of Operations and Emergencies, who said, "We are outraged and saddened at the killings of two of our colleagues in an attack by Boko Haram in northeast Nigeria last evening. Ibrahim Lawan and Yahweh Emmanuel represented the best in us assisting displaced civilians. We will miss them."
The attack follows the brazen kidnapping of more than 100 schoolgirls by Boko Haram February 19th. These two events are among many others that have been mounted by Boko Haram since the Nigerian government declared that the group had been defeated. Millman says aid workers encounter many dangers as part of their daily lives. Earlier in the week, he notes a UN Children's Fund aid worker and five educators were killed by unknown assailants in the Central African Republic. He says the IOM has experienced some kidnappings and other dangerous incidents this year, but that the killings in Nigeria by Boko Haram are the first deaths among IOM staff this year. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The government of Uganda has launched an investigation into a wave of cyber crimes targeting mobile phone users. Frank Tumubwezi, an information and communication minister, says the government will penalize telecommunication companies that still have unregistered SIM cards. The move comes at a time when police say criminals are using unregistered SIM cards to commit crimes. Mungume Debs Rwakarinj reports from Kampala.
Minister Tumwebaze says they will not leave any stone unturned in their quest to know how criminals are still using unregistered SIM cards. He says the inquiry will enable Ugandans to be able to communicate without fear of falling into danger.
I gave UCC 14 days. I am told they have also given notice to the affected telecom companies because you must follow the law to avoid being sued. We'll get to know the details of it. If it requires a detailed inquiry into the sector, we'll go for it.
UCC stands for Uganda Communications Commission, a government agency that regulates telecommunications companies in the country. One celebrated case that shook the nation this week was the gruesome murder of a woman in Kampala. Police investigations revealed that criminals used unregistered SIM cards to communicate with the victim, whom they kidnapped and later demanded for ransom before killing her. Emiliane Kaima is the spokesman of the Uganda police. He says, unfortunately, such cases are all too common.
We are investigating a case of two Chinese girls that were murdered, and there is evidence that there was communication between them and their parents that murdered them. We have had many people who have lost millions of shillings out of fraudulent deals that involve criminals that would wink their victims and end up cheating them close amounts of money.
He says other forms of cyber crimes include hate text messages and inciting violence. Ugandans engaged in SIM card registration exercise, which started in April last year and was initially meant to last for 1 week, but was extended several times because of public outcry. SIM card registration is the process of recording and verifying mobile phone numbers and personal information of a subscriber by a communication service provider. The information includes the subscriber's photograph, name, date of birth, gender, address, and details of valid identification documents. Tumwebaze says both telecom companies as well as individuals will be punished for violating Ugandan communication regulations.
The penalties for telecom companies are there. One, you can be fined money. Two, your license can be revoked. It's not a joke. It's really serious. But for us to do that, we have to be sure that the culpability is on the part of the telecom. Because it could be on the part of the person. If I went and got my number from the telecom using my ID, and I pass on my card to a criminal, there, the telecom company is not responsible.
There are estimated more than 22 million mobile phone users in Uganda. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinjini, Kampala, Uganda.
A South Sudanese musician known to fans as James Ladu Fanan says music has a way of reaching people's heart through gentle persuasion. Ladu Mudi says he wants to use his talents to sing about peace and unity in South Sudan. Nabil Biajo has more for VOA from Juba.
Mudi says he became a peace activist after fighting broke out in South Sudan in late 2013. He says since then, he has been singing about the values of peace and harmony.
I felt that music is the first element that captured, you know, the mind of the people quickly, or the heart. So it's really an important tool. The message is about peace, it's about unity, it's about love.
Modi released the song Kalina Sibo Mashakil, which is Arabic for Let Us Stop Fighting Among Ourselves, in 2014. He says he wanted to remind South Sudanese about the country's rich cultural diversity.
We are all one people, regardless of 64 tribe or 65 tribe in South Sudan. At the end of the day, whether you're from Nuer, whether you're from Mundari, or whether you're from Dinka or Anyuak, Kakwa, all of us are the same. We are one people. So we should leave out issues of conflict, issues of violent war, because war is so destructive. So that is the message about Kalina Sibo Mashakil.
Modi also released a song entitled I Am the Product of Anyanya One. He says this particular song should remind South Sudanese of their shared history of the liberation struggle.
So we should actually remember all our struggle, all our martyrs who died, all that we have, you know, gone through. We actually need to remember so that we actually have to stop this war. Because if we continue fighting, there's no benefit. We will actually ruin this nation. Our liberation cannot go in vain. So we have to stop the war. Let us start a new journey of development. Let us reconcile. I am free, but so then
When South Sudan became independent in 2011, Modi released the song I Am a Free Bird Southerner. The song urges South Sudanese to live as equals.
So I was trying to just remind the people of South Sudan that the separation has taken place. Therefore, we should not enslave other people in this country. If there are two mangoes that are supposed to be given to two people, let the two mangoes go to two people, not to one person.
Modi is a father of two kids and works at the Turkic State Secretariat. He says he will continue singing for peace and participate in peace initiatives. But Modi says he has no funds for recording new songs. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biajo in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The government is demanding an independent investigation into reports that UN police officers from Ghana were having sexual relations with vulnerable South Sudanese women in a POC camp in Wau. Valentino Bach today said he's the undersecretary in South Sudan's Foreign Affairs Ministry, accused UNMISS of harboring criminals at POC sites in the country. He also today condemned the UN for, in his words, betraying the trust of the people of South Sudan. He said UN police should not be asking women in camps for sexual favors. Earlier this week, UNMISS Chief David Shearer said the mission withdrew the Ghanaian unit of 46 police officers following the allegations of sexual exploitation in Wau. Shearer said the UN's Office of Internal Oversight Services, an independent office within the UN, is investigating the matter. He also said the UN has zero tolerance for such activity. Bach says the government is not satisfied that the matter is being investigated by a UN body. Five police officers have been killed and three others reportedly injured after suspected al-Shabaab militants attacked two security camps in Kenya's northeastern town of Mandera, which shares a border with Somalia. The attack comes barely a month after suspected al-Shabaab militants killed three people in Wajir, a town also on the Kenya-Somalia border. Today's early morning attack occurred at the Kenya Police and Administration police camps in Fino Town. A member of the Mandera County Assembly, and who works just 40 kilometers from Fino, said for 2 weeks there had been information circulating that an attack would happen. He said local leaders had given the information to agencies because locals were skeptical about working with police officers in the area. George Musumali is a security analyst in Nairobi. He said local communities in Mandera were critical in the fight against terrorism and should not be ignored. And finally, the UN Migration Agency says armed Boko Haram insurgents have attacked a military base in northeastern Nigeria, killing and hurting aid workers and police. The agency says an investigation into the attack is underway. It says a large number of Boko Haram insurgents armed with automatic weapons, rocket-propelled grenades and gun trucks attacked the military base in Rand in Borno State. A spokesman for the International Organization for Migration, Joel Millman, says he understands a camp for internally displaced people is located there. Millman cited IOM staff working in the camp as saying that four soldiers, four mobile police, and three humanitarian workers were killed in the event, while another three humanitarian workers were injured. One worker is reportedly missing. The attack follows the brazen kidnapping of more than 100 schoolgirls in Boko Haram by Boko Haram on February 19th. The two events are among many others that have been mounted by Boko Haram since the Nigerian government declared that the group had been defeated. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Nebni Baledna by Emmanuel Kembe. We have been listening to Emmanuel Kembe with the song Nabni Baledna. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Would like to hear what you think about this show. You can reach us on SouthSudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Have a peaceful weekend and join us again Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.